Could climate change upend the American dream? New research by the First Street Foundation is pointing to widespread and systemic economic risk from a climate-driven decline in property values. The report details the vulnerability of the $50 trillion residential real estate market in the U.S. It projects huge losses to homeowners across the country starting this year. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with ProPublica reporter Abraham Lustgarten about the report and its implications for the future.
So climate change and the American dream, what could they possibly have to do with each other?
Well, the American dream, you know, the cliche of it is that we're going to all, build enough wealth and own our own homes one day, and that those homes will appreciate and be our main pool of asset savings, as they have been for the last 20 years before us. And climate change is making life more expensive and those homes more tenuous and their value quite uncertain.
Don't homes kind of go up and down in terms of value? I mean, is it always a steady upward swing? I mean, aren't there times when the bubble bursts and the homes are not worth so much, regardless of climate change?
Yeah, of course. It's a fluctuating circumstance. But over the last 20 years, I think the report that I reported on this week from First Street says that homes have appreciated on average about 58% over the last 20 years. So it's been that the overall trend line, like the stock market, has been of increasing value over a long period of time.
So would you say it's better, or in the next 30-year period that you're talking about, it would be better to be a renter?
Well, I think that it depends on where you are and what your circumstances are. The report that I wrote about this week suggests that on average across the country over the next 30 years, property values, residential property values, will decrease by 6%. That doesn't mean that they won't climb in certain places, but according to their models, in 85% of U.S. census tracts, that will be the predominant trajectory. Now, of course, that's one outfit's guess based on some pretty advanced scientific modeling, but they could be wrong as well. I mean, nobody knows exactly what will happen with prices.
So meanwhile, we have these wildfires and these extreme weather conditions, and people are likely to move away and migrate somewhere else. So how significant will that be? I mean, how many people are we talking about?
I wrote a book about climate-driven migration in the United States called On the Move. And, it goes into this question in enormous detail. But suffice to say, there's no clear answer for, the question of how many. It could be 15 million Americans. It could be 160 million Americans. Either of those numbers are just enormous, would transform the demographics of this country and the geography of our cities. But, it is fairly certain that climate pressures will change where people live in this country. Won't universally evacuate certain parts of the country, but it will tend to push people out of rural areas and into cities, and it will tend to push people towards relatively safer zones in the northern and northeastern part of the country. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic in terms of property values. It's, very much in flux. One of the reasons that property values might begin to decrease is because the cost of owning property is increasing with climate change. The cost of insurance in particular are skyrocketing. Now, of course, as people move away, if people do move out of a community, then that's the opposite kind of pressure on those property values. And if there is decreased demand, then that could lower property, or that could increase. If there is decreased demand, then that could lower property values as well. So there's a lot in flux here, but moving populations across the United States will dramatically change the country.
Is this something that's being talked about much in the real estate industry?
Yeah, absolutely. You see increasing reports from companies like Zillow and Redfin tracking the sentiments of people who use their services, of real estate buyers. There's a large percentage of Americans over the last 4 or 5 years who have said that climate change and fears of disasters are a major factor in them deciding where to move to and in whether or not to buy or sell their homes.
Now, some people have thought that the American dream was dead decades ago, but do you think that it's still alive in people's minds?
I mean, there's a lot of ways to define the American dream, and by some measures, I think we could have a robust conversation about whether it's been alive or dead. I think, the main point here is to start to look at the ways that climate pressures are going to manifest in economic ways, that they're going to be costly for Americans and for the United States as a government, and as a society. And one of the ways we're going to start to see that is in at least the instability that it causes in the value of assets like homes. And then, perhaps as this report I wrote about forecasts, the drop in value of homes.
So this could lead to some political action, do you think, to deal with climate change in a more serious way?
I mean, I think that that's a logical response, but it also should have been a logical response for many years now. I mean, as I wrote in my book, and I've got a whole chapter on the rising cost of insurance in the insurance industry, the residential insurance market has already been responding to climate change for 30 years, since 1992 and Hurricane Andrew in Florida. And the problems that we're seeing today are making headlines and they're getting more significant, but they're not altogether different from the challenges of 1992. And so far, the policy and political response to insurance rates in particular has been, to subsidize costs, to protect the economy, and more or less ignore climate change and the risks of it. Now, the bigger question about policy and climate change, I mean, we're decades behind in having effective policy. We haven't seen very much effective policy except for, some of the laws passed over the last 4 years. And I'm skeptical that, much will shake those policies loose in the near future.
So, can anything be done at the state level? I guess that's where the insurance legislation would come from, right? Could that be a mitigating factor?
I mean, there's lots of opportunities, at the state level. Insurance will need to be fairly priced in order to be preserved. And the preservation of insurance is more or less essential to our economy and to, protecting the assets of homeowners or anybody that owns property. So insurance has been systematically underpriced relative to its climate risks across the country for a long time. And so part of what needs to happen at a minimum is that states need to allow insurers to charge what they need to charge in order to actually provide the coverage that we want from them. So it's one policy outcome. States will have a lot of opportunity to address this in a lot of different ways, and you're seeing California, begin to do that in some ways. I think zoning and development questions are really key. Do you continue to allow development into high-risk areas that are not already developed? Wildfire interfaces in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, for example. I think the answer should be no. Do you rebuild in extremely vulnerable places is a much more complicated question, and I think will take, a little bit of deft planning, and probably the responsible answer is a mixture of creating buffer zones and buying out certain properties, but allowing others to be rebuilt in the smartest possible way with proper building materials that can go a long way towards protecting people from fire risk in the future.
What you said about insurance, that it's actually underpriced right now. I'm thinking that if the insurance rates go up anymore, this is going to be yet another burden on homeowners who already, well, at least in California, have to pay property taxes. And what will that do to home ownership? I mean, it just seems like more of a burden.
It is, and it will be. And that's the nature of the story that I wrote about First Street. It essentially tracks how the cost of insurance has become a larger proportion of the costs to individuals of owning a home. And as that happens, owning a home is becoming obviously more expensive, but also less profitable. So that gets at the appreciation of property question. And big picture, what that means is that it will become very expensive to own property. It will be expensive to insure it and to maintain it and to protect it and to rebuild it in that worst case scenario that it's damaged through a climate related disaster. And all of that is likely to change the picture of homeownership, which is why I suggest this, sort of rethinking of the American dream, because at a minimum, it suggests that homes won't perform for us the way that they have economically. But at a maximum, it means that maybe a lot of people who could have afforded homes in the past will not be able to in the future. And so, one possible outcome from that is that we all do rent our homes, our property, rather than owning them. in the future and some other entity actually owns that property. Maybe we invest or save our money in different ways going forward.
So if you live in an area of the country that's not as affected by climate change, your home will still be worth a lot of money, would you say? And you could benefit from selling it just the way you would in the past?
And there's a lot of moving parts here, and it's really difficult to predict. The study that First Street released suggests that home values will decline across 85% of census tracts in the country. That's an enormous, overwhelming majority of parts of the country. So that suggests that, no place is perfectly safe or few places are perfectly safe. Obviously, there's 15% left, and they could appreciate in those places. And that First Street report suggests that prices could increase by 10% in those beneficial areas. So I see those kinds of numbers and projections as imprecise. I would take them as, compass arrows pointing in a direction, but their specificity I would take with a grain of salt. I think that the big message is, that we're at a bit of an inflection point where values are undermined and we have to start thinking about the possibility that real estate values will decline. My book focuses a lot on where people might move to and the parts of the country that are threatened, which is to overgeneralize, in the West and the South and the Sun Belt, and where people might move to, which is, again, to overgeneralize, is, the Great Lakes and the northern part of the country. And so no place is
It's very
safe from
cold.
climate change. Very cold, but getting warmer. No place is safe from climate change, but it's all relative. And I think the risk is relatively less in those potential destination places.
Is this a worldwide phenomenon?
Yeah, I mean, climate change is a global phenomenon, and
Well, it
in
has
terms
an
of,
effect on home ownership.
well, I don't know that every part of the world uses home ownership the way Americans do to save assets, and certainly isn't priced the same way. I see the climate migration phenomenon as a global phenomenon. There will be incredible pressure from the mid latitudes and the equatorial parts of the globe, towards the north in particular. And that'll have a lot of different effects depending on, what country you're in. For the United States, it means there's going to be migration pressures on our borders from outside the country. And then, that movement in the country northward. It is clear globally that climate change is going to change asset values and deeply undermine economies, no matter what country or what economy or what industry you're looking at. But I don't know if we can say that about, real estate in particular across around the world.
Is there any indication that Congress is starting to think about this issue or proposing some legislation?
I mean, this is a particularly difficult week to make any sense of what Congress is doing. Two senators introduced, an act, including, a California senator ostensibly addressing the increasing risk of atmospheric rivers, of high rainfall events. That's one of those climate-driven events that is going to lead to flooding and disasters and insurance claims and property impact. But big picture, addressing climate change, we're not at a political juncture in this country to see much action on climate change leadership from the federal government for a number of years.
And anything else you want to add to what you've said?
I talk a lot about migration as a movement that will be driven by economic change. So when we talk about climate migration in the United States and what my book On the Move focuses on, the idea that I try to get across is that I don't think that it's wildfires or extreme heat necessarily that is going to cause, John Smith to move from Texas to North Dakota, but the rising costs of life that are associated with those climate changes. So the ways that the energy costs increase, your utility bills go up and insurance costs go up, and maybe job opportunities shift and maybe positive opportunities arise in those northern places. And that it's the economic change that's going to really drive our response to climate change in terms of where we live, but also in terms of bigger policy. And so I think that's the overarching message here. Home prices are a really significant part of our economy, worth $50 trillion in the United States, about two times our annual GDP as a nation. So to me, that's a bright, glaring signal that this economic shift is upon us, and it's just one example of the ways in which that economic change is going to respond to climate change.
So when people migrate on the level that you're talking about, will the jobs be there for them? Or will that naturally occur just because there's so many people moving to certain places?
That's going to be an immense challenge across the country, and there's going to be losers and winners. And, communities that see a decrease in size and an outpouring of people, people might leave because the jobs disappear, and the jobs might disappear because the people leave. And in those relatively safer parts of the country that people might move to, there is a seems to be opportunity for economic growth and expansion. And you'll see, I predict, companies and employers increasingly moving into those regions, both to be physically, protected themselves, but also to take advantage of, those larger labor pools.
And then I'm thinking of older people wanting to move south to be in the warmer climate, and you're saying that it might be more advantageous to move north. I wonder what's going to happen there.
Well, Pete, you're right. People have for a long time moved to the South for sunshine and beachfront property and things like that. And that has defied, the climate risks. And those are some of the fastest growing parts of the country now. But they've moved there in part because the insurance costs were kept artificially low to attract people and to encourage that growth. And so as insurance costs adjust back to normal, that dynamic will change. And there are signals in the economy that those trends are shifting, that maybe those places are peaking. They've seen the slowest appreciation of, residential property values in recent years, and the highest spikes in the cost of insurance. And there's early signs that, that people are starting to leave those regions.
Is that an optimistic note or a pessimistic note or just realism?
I think it's just realism. I mean, the effects of climate change are upon us, and we have the challenge of thwarting it, but also now adapting to it, and that's going to cost a lot of money and take a lot of planning. And the politics of the issues got to get out of the way at some point.
That's ProPublica reporter Abraham Lustgarten speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on February 10th, 2025.